It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, thank you so much for downloading Lane Mitchell Show podcast number 156. Hell, thanks for just knowing what a podcast is. A lot of people don't know. This is basically just highlights from my afternoon radio show. Sometimes we have special guests. For instance, this week, Rain Made Of, Our Lady Peace pops by to chat about their new album. We talk a little news and entertainment, that kind of thing. And we also had a fun new contest for 420 called High Stakes.
Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, did you hear Dick Clark died?
Only when you Facebooked it.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
It's kind of crazy.
I really thought he was a robot.
A lot of people kind of thought he was a robot, because really he has not aged in my lifetime.
Not a day.
They used to call him the world's oldest teenager.
Really?
Because, yeah, he was kind of eternally young.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and quite honestly, when I heard the world's oldest teenager died, my first thought was, oh, finally, Charlie Sheen OD'd. Like, ah. Oh. So, for me, it was kind of a double whammy.
You had the devastation to realize Charlie Sheen's still kicking around.
Yeah. Yeah, Charlie Sheen is still kicking around, and Dick Clark's dead. It's worse for me than anybody, I think. You know, Dick Clark started out in radio, hey?
That's what I heard.
He is a fantastically talented man. I mean, you know, for our generation, most people don't appreciate his skills because he's so old school. But it's like, he kind of pioneered old school.
Yeah. And then took it to all new levels, because it's not like he just stayed in radio.
Yeah, Dick Clark is Ryan Seacrest 50 years ago. Except we don't hate Dick Clark.
Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Hey, Sonic. Okay. Hey, Sonic.
Oh, man. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
What's your name there, sir?
It's Rick.
Okay, Rick. Listen carefully, okay?
Okay, man.
My name is Chantel. I'm 29 years old. I'm actually a student, but in my spare time, I like to draw. In college, I'm studying education. My favorite movie is Artificial Intelligence. My favorite band is... actually, I don't have one. My favorite food is pierogies. I have zero tattoos and zero piercings.
What do you think? Is she a pot smoker?
She is. Just by the way she went,
You think so, hey?
I was that close last time I called, and I'm saying I'm going with my instincts. It's, she does.
Okay, well, you know, you have to think, one, she is a student. Good indicator there, possibly. But likewise, a reader, you know, into, you know, artificial intelligence. That sounds like kind of a sci-fi movie. Hard to say. Well, let's take a listen. Let's see.
Please.
My name is Chantel. I'm 29 years old. I'm actually a student, but in my spare time, I like to draw. In college, I'm studying education. My favorite movie is Artificial Intelligence. My favorite band is... actually, I don't have one. My favorite food is pierogies. I have zero tattoos and zero piercings. I don't smoke weed.
Oh, no!
Lane Mitchell Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Well, Steve Carell has finally mapped out his first big project away from the office. He'll reportedly star opposite New Girl star Jake Johnson, the guy who plays Nick on the show, in a yet-to-be-titled mob comedy. And you've no doubt heard by now that Brad and Angelina Jolie are finally getting married. The two have been together for 7 years and adopted children from, I think, just about every country. Yeah, it was probably about time they tied the knot. Now, no word on when it'll be or where. I think the one thing we can guarantee, well, at least if the Oscars were any indication, Jolie's dress will likely show a little leg. And just who is the fattest nation in the world? Now, I know we all just want to say the U.S., but believe it or not, no. And not by a long shot. Qatar. Yeah, in the Middle East. Qatar, half of the adults there are obese. And get this, 17% have diabetes. 17%! Like, you stop a stranger on the street, it's more likely they'll have insulin than a stick of gum. The Qatari government is trying to deal with the problem and has even launched a campaign to encourage healthy eating and exercise. But let's face it, unless they're printing those brochures on bacon, I don't expect them to get read.
The Lane Mitchell Show. It's Lane Mitchell. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Days later, and still, people are talking about late rapper Tupac Shakur's holographic resurrection at this year's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. There's even talk that Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre may take this Tupac thing on the road. Which is kind of funny, you know, Snoop Dogg, who's not a real dog, touring with Dr. Dre, who's not a real doctor, and Tupac, who's, well, not a real Tupac. Yeah. And a sperm donor in Hollywood has reportedly fathered, get this, 82 children. 82! Now, at first, I thought this guy's forearms must be like the size of Vin Diesel's thighs. That wasn't until I learned that he donates in a more traditional fashion. The man donates by actually having sex with his clients. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just call that being a man whore. And what is the biggest compliment you can pay somebody of the female persuasion? Tell her she looks like she's lost weight. That one topped the list. Other compliments guaranteed to get you in the good books with the ladies? Tell her she smells good, how nice her hair looks, or what beautiful eyes she has. Or, I mean, if all else fails, offer her a free sperm donation. Apparently it works for some guys.
It's a Sonic1029.com podcast.
Fun little contest that could just win you Sonic Boom tickets. We profile one of your fellow Edmontonians. You just have to guess whether or not the person smokes pot or not. Pretty easy, right? Who's this?
Hello?
Hello, Sonic. Who's this?
It's Dave.
Dave?
Yeah.
I'm going to play a little clip here. You just tell me if this guy smokes pot or not, okay?
Alrighty.
My name is Nick. I'm 25 years old. I work at a Safeway, but in my spare time, I run a website. In college, I study English. My favorite movie is Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. My favorite band is Smash Mouth. My favorite food is pizza. I have zero tattoos and no piercings.
What do you think?
I think he smokes pot.
I think so, eh? Well, let's see.
All right.
I have zero tattoos and no piercings. And I don't smoke weed.
Ooh.
Oh.
It's Lane Mitchell, podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Now, if you don't like Jersey Shore, well, you're not alone. Apparently, the Jersey Shore house is being vandalized with such regular frequency, the exterior is being repainted every single week just to keep the taggers at bay. And Gerard Butler just recently got out of rehab, but it appears as though he's just trading one vice for another. Yeah, the actor hit up the Coachella Music Festival last weekend, and while he did manage to stay sober amid the chaos, his sexual urges, well, those were another story. He was spotted grinding on some girl like they were at a high school dance. Now, eventually, they did retreat for some privacy, which they found in a porta potty. So classy. And Kim Kardashian has announced that she may run for mayor of Glendale, California. Not immediately, but it is in her 5-year plan. Now, you have to consider, there's all kinds of dirty laundry that tends to be aired during elections. Kim Kardashian's sex tape's already out. She may actually have a chance. Much to my chagrin. Because, I mean, personally, I'd be a little reluctant to elect someone to office who thinks politics is a form of pubic lice you catch from doing it outside. But that's me. Politics.
The Lane Mitchell Show. Podcast from Sonic1029.com.
Well, Demi Moore is back. Yeah, 3 months after her emergency hospitalization and subsequent rehab, and the actress has returned to public life and to Twitter. Yeah, at Mrs. Kutcher's first tweet back invites followers to suggest a new Twitter name change. Really? A 48-year-old woman just had a rehab for doing whippets? And her Twitter name is her biggest concern? How about something like at Incredibly Superficial? And Charlie Sheen's new sitcom might actually be a hit. Yeah, the anger management pilot is testing overwhelmingly positive. 80% of the audience at a recent screening said they loved Sheen's portrayal of an unorthodox therapist and are rooting for him to make a career comeback. Really? 80%? And this could be the wildest idea ever. A company in London has installed flavored walls in their elevator. Yeah, I said flavored. You can actually lick the walls. They're made to taste like Jaffa cakes. which are orange and chocolate flavored sponge cakes, which are hugely popular in the UK. Then there's an attendant in the elevator who just peels off the spot on the wall where you licked so you aren't spreading any germs. Just seems kind of weird, you know? Standing there in an elevator with some guy staring at you and you're licking the wall. It's weird, right?
The Lane Mitchell Show. Podcast. Yeah. Like what you're hearing? Check out the Garner Andrews Show to Go podcast at sonic1029.com.
Ooh, another round of high stakes. Rochelle, you just tell me if this person smokes weed or not, and I'll give you Sonic Boom tickets if you get it right.
That's wicked.
Ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
My name is Brody. I'm 21 years old. I work as a sulfur transloader.
Yes.
My favorite food is pizza. I have tattoos and one piercing.
You're going with yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You totally blaze.
Pizza. I have tattoos and one piercing. I do smoke weed.
Woohoo!
Boom! You got yourself Sonic Boom tickets. That simple, Rochelle.
Wicked, thank you so much.
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. It's Lane Mitchell Podcast.
Another edition of Canada's Got Talent returns tonight. The results show for week four, and still a couple of Albertans in the race. Jack, Michelle, and Maria Forestier from Edmonton. Basically, it's just a couple of parents and their cute little guy. This kid is 7 years old. He plays the fiddle like you would not believe. And hey, if you've ever overindulged in alcohol, you know how awful a hangover can be? Well, that was the inspiration for a brand new business. An anesthesiologist in Las Vegas has equipped a bus that he now calls Hangover Heaven. And, well, for about $150, he'll hook you up to an IV bag and replenish all your vitamins and fluids and all that kind of thing lost during your boozy binge. Now, it is a great idea. But at the same time, $150 does buy a lot of Gatorade. Something to consider. And things finally seem to be getting back to normal over at Mel Gibson's house.
Who wants tea? Who the f*** wants tea? Go have some tea! Hooray!
Yeah. Gibson is reportedly talking about suing Joe Esterhaus now for releasing that tape. My question? On what grounds? Did it damage Mel Gibson's reputation? Because he doesn't exactly have a squeaky clean track record these days, does he?
It's a Sonic1029.com presentation. The Lane Mitchell Show Podcast.
Joining us today in Sonic1029's Booster Juice Listener Lounge, a Juno Award-winning band who sold millions of albums worldwide. You know who that is, guys? That's Our Lady Peace. Woo! Yeah! First off, congratulations on the release of the brand new album, Curve, band's eighth. That hit stores earlier this month. There's a boxer on the cover. There's a boxer video for the first single. The first single is called Heavyweight. Am I detecting a theme?
Yeah, a lot of parallels with, I guess, fighting and the struggle a boxer or a fighter goes through in this record. And maybe being a band for 18 years, I started drawing metaphors in some of the lyrics, and it just ended up being a pretty strong theme. And then we thought about, okay, how do we kind of make that relatable to everyone and in a concise way? And we said, okay, we'll put a boxer on the cover. And George Shavallo is, you know, Canadian icon. I think the biggest, probably famous Canadian boxer is. And a really incredible man. We became friends with him. He gave us that picture. He picked it out of, you know, boxes of photos that he had at his house. And he speaks on a song, the last song on the record called Metal. There's some spoken word stuff with George. So he's kind of a big part of the record.
Are you a boxing fan? Was that sort of a part of your upbringing? Or?
I like fighting in general. I mean, it sounds very strange, probably, but I do. I love boxing, and I mean, I'm a huge UFC fan and mixed martial arts. So, yeah, there's definitely parallels for me from like a fighter who's in a ring, and even being a performer on stage, in the sense that you're kind of, you know, you do all the training. You know, as an artist, you practice your instrument. As a boxer, you train physically and mentally. And then you get out into this ring or a stage, and you have to perform. And you're kind of naked up there, and it's you kind of prove yourself in front of everyone. And I think those parallels are interesting.
Now, you mentioned fighting. I'm just kind of curious. When was the last time you were in a physical fight?
Fight a lot on a bus.
Your own little private Our Lady Peace Fight Club?
Yeah, I train. I've done martial arts since I was very young, and I trained with this guy in Toronto. The place was called Crazy Bob's House of Death. And now I do Krav Maga, which is an Israeli fighting system. And I like the art of it. It's a great way to stay physically and mentally sharp.
You know what? I'll be honest. I've never heard the name George Shivalo until I saw the cover of your album. And
shame on you.
I know. You know what? I looked it up, and this is a guy that Muhammad Ali fought back in the day. Muhammad Ali said this George Shivalo guy is one of the toughest guys he's ever fought in his life.
Yeah, George took him twice the distance, 15 rounds, and then Ali said, I won't fight him anymore because he couldn't knock him out. I mean, that's his claim to fame. He fought 73 professional fights and was never knocked down once.
I heard that you guys actually went into the studio, you started recording this new album, and you kind of went, I'm not feeling it, scrapped it and started again.
We recorded 4 or 5 songs, and a friend of mine who's a producer, and he's a great engineer, he works for Rick Rubin. We work on stuff together and develop artists, and he just came in and said, hey, play me the stuff you guys worked on. How did it go? I said, I think it went well. We got a couple songs out of maybe 4. And he sat there on the couch in my studio, and he's a very intense music purist, and he listened to the songs really detailed, and he just looked at me and said, like, we don't talk about music like this. You don't own these. You don't buy these kind of CDs. Why don't you guys make a record that you want to listen to? And so that was pretty bold, you know, in a sense. But I really took it to heart because I really respect, his name's Jason Later, and I really respect his opinion. And so we stopped everything, scrapped those songs, and started fresh and brought him in.
Well, I'm going to pull out a third level quote on you here because I don't remember exactly what it was, but you had mentioned you had said something to the effect of this is the album we've been trying to make our whole career.
I don't know if our whole career. We probably didn't know back in the first 2 or 3 records, but I think for the last 4 records, for sure, this is where we've been trying to get to. We took some detours. We worked with Bob Rock, and that was experimental in its own sense by stripping a lot of the stuff we used to do down and making it much more straightforward. And I think we're much more comfortable in this world where it's a little bit more experimental, textured and layered and a little bit more cryptic.
Now, this album, Curve, was recorded at your house.
Between Los Angeles and Toronto, yeah.
How does that change the vibe of a record? Is it weird recording at home?
I think it's, you know, as musicians now, what you want as an artist, you just want to be in the most comfortable surroundings where if you have an idea, you can record it right away. Kind of like a painter would or a poet, you know. Musicians for the longest time weren't able to do that because you'd have to go rent a studio and that's like, you know, it's expensive. And
well, I mean, Rain, though, you've got 3 small kids at home. How do you get anything done?
You know, I think for me, there's a warmth that I think even translates into the music when you have that kind of energy around, you know. For the most part, you know, the studio was kind of closed when we're recording, but to be able to just to walk outside and not be in some industrial mall or, I remember when we were recording in Maui, it just felt, we did 2 records there, and it was beautiful, and you could go surf, and it was like being on vacation, and I don't think that worked for us in terms of making music.
Well, I mean, your oldest son, though, he's what, 8, 7? Is that weird for you? Like, does he know that his dad's a rock star? Does he understand that?
He does.
Does he think you're an accountant? Like,
no, I mean, our struggle right now is trying to get him to realize that it's actually a job and it's work, and that whole 10,000-hour things, we're trying to, you know, drive that into him where it's like, no matter what you want to do, you know, this, we just don't do this for fun, you know.
Now, you guys are playing a show tonight at the Starlight Room, a sold-out show, obviously. When we first announced it, a lot of people were going, what do you mean they're playing the Starlight Room? Yeah. Like, not the Shaw?
Yeah, we wanted to do, just on the heels of this record, to really do sweaty little shows. There's something very visceral and very, I don't know, this record, for some reason, it feels like there's a naivety to it in the sense of, as artists, we were just making it for ourselves. And that's how we made our first record. So I felt like we needed to start in that way, touring as well.
You actually received some kind of a humanitarian award, if I'm not mistaken. What can you tell us about that?
It's an honor. It's pretty uncomfortable, to be honest. I think I've always tried to make it clear, you know, the good people who started and run War Child and Apathy is Boring and all the charities that I've affiliated myself with. But that award, we accept it, but really accept it on their behalf.
Is there something special about that particular charity that spoke to you? And the reason I ask is because I would imagine, you know, being a celebrity, it must be absolutely overwhelming the amount of people coming to you and saying, you know, we're doing a fundraiser for lung cancer. We're doing a fundraiser. How do you choose?
You know, it's funny. It's like when we first got involved with War Child, the reasons were that we got to know the people that started it. We got to know the people that worked there. We traveled to Iraq and Darfur and Ethiopia and these places and saw what they actually do firsthand. And it's one of the most transparent organizations around the globe. You know, when you put trust in people that way, it's pretty easy.
Well, again, thank you so much for being here. Seriously, this means so much to us. Sold out show tonight at the Starlight Room along with the Pack AD, Vancouver Duo.
Our Lady Peace, everybody.
Hear more of this interview and other off-air highlights at lanemitchell.com. Your gateway to exclusive interviews and other modern rocky goodness from Sonic 129.com.